is my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. You may take your seats. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but amen. Amen. This is holy ground we're standing on. Holy ground. We serve a holy God. Amen. Holy ground we are on. Today, I want to talk to you from the thought of don't look back. Don't look back. I've been blessed with the opportunity to meet and talk with a lot of folks on a day-to-day basis. And what I found is that there are some differences in the people that I meet and that I talk with, but there is one similarity that I find troubling, but I know that with God, He can work through it. And so that one thing is past hurts, past pain, past failures, right? Past hurts, past pains, past failures. And I found that in talking to people, right, and even in my own life, that sometimes these past hurts and these past pains creep up in my life. And it keeps me, them, sometimes, in a place to where they're looking back. I want to encourage us today not to look back. Not to look back. And when I say not to look back, again, it's at the past hurts, the past pains, right? The past tests, the past struggles. And we're going to dig just a little bit. So are y'all ready to work the word on today? Amen. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. And we'll start round about verse 57. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Luke. Chapter 9, starting at verse 57. And the word of God reads, and I have NIV version. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." 59 says, "He said to another man, 'Follow me.' But he replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.'" Verse 60, Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Verse 62 says, Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Let me read that one more time, verse 62. Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." So when I read that text, I said, "All right, Lord, you know, what is it that you would have for your people on today?" And the thought is kind of what I shared with you before. Don't look back, right? And I'm talking about looking back at the past hurts, the pains, the failures, right? Because sometimes when we look back, it keeps us in a place from moving forward, right? And so if you spend any time in this ministry, you would see that we are what I call on the up and up, right? So the arrow, as Pastor always says, is pointing up. And so that means we're on the incline, we're on the increase, right? Now, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, you don't want me to look back. Why not look back? When I look back, I remember the things that the Lord has brought me through, and I remember the goodness of the Lord, and that's great. And that's great, and that's good, and we need that. We need to remember, right, that. But what I'm talking about specifically today is looking back to those things that mean us no good. It's looking back on those things or those challenges or those words or those relationships or those situations in which we found ourselves that halted us, that hindered us from moving forward, right, in the things of God, right? And so when I looked at this, verse 62, really all of the text stuck out to me, but verse 62 stuck out the most in that it said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom." And so in looking at that, I thought immediately of a farmer. Now, I'm not a farmer. I'm a country girl, but I'm not a farmer. But from what I've seen and from what I've studied, the farmer has to plow, right, the ground, has to till the ground, has to prepare the ground in order for the harvest, right, to come. Not only that, prior to that, the ground has to be prepared in order for the seed, right, to be planted in order for that harvest to come, right? Are y'all still with me? Right, so if you were to think agriculturally, I guess you could say, right? Think of the farmer who has a specific seed, who desires to plant the seed on good ground, right? But not only that, bring about a harvest, right? So that way he can feed or she can feed their family, right? And so when you're plowing, right, what I learned, when you're plowing, right, your sole purpose is to go forward, right? Your sole purpose is to go forward. So those farmers in this time, right, they looked upon the horizon, right? And they turned their gaze to what was on the horizon so that way when they plowed, the lines would be straight, right? So just think about it. Have you seen just random parts around the city or around the towns that were ground, that were prepared for a harvest? Have you guys like seen that when you look at the ground, come on y'all, work with me now. That when y'all look at the ground, you see straight lines, right? You see the straight lines. Now think about it, right? Think about it. In our spiritual life, right? When we look back, right? We're not necessarily moving in a straight line, right? We're not gazed and focused on Jesus, right? And so if we're looking back, right, we're gonna do a demonstration in a minute, so y'all be with me, all right? So if we're looking back, sometimes we veer off to the right. Sometimes we veer off to the left. But if we were looking forward, right, towards Jesus, towards the horizon, right, we may have some challenges. We may hit a rock. We may hit a bump, right? But because our gaze and our focus is on Jesus, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right, y'all. Amen? Amen. So we're gonna dig just a little bit deep today. So y'all just go with me. Amen. I want to read the same text, Luke 9, 57 through 62, in the Message translation. And it says it this way. On the road, someone asked if he could go along. I'll go with you wherever, he said. 58 says, Jesus was curt. And are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know. Jesus said to another, follow me. He said, certainly, but first excuse me for a couple of days, please. I have to make arrangements for my father's funeral. Jesus refused. He said, first things first, your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. 61 says, then another said, I'm ready to follow you, master. But first, excuse me while I get things straightened out at home. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backwards looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Seize the day. So that's the Message translation. I like how the Message translation says in 62, Jesus said, no procrastination, no backwards looks. You can't put God's kingdom off until tomorrow. Seize the day. So what I receive from this text is, it's time to repent, right? It's time to repent of those things, of that sin that we've done against the Lord, of against one another, against our own selves. It's time to repent and turn from that thing and not look back, people of God. See, this is a time of judgment, right? Judgment is happening, and judgment is going to come to us. And so this is the time to repent. So you're probably asking yourself, what are you saying, Elder Larissa? What is your point? I'm saying that there are times in which we are distracted by, stuck in, or just flat out comfortable with our past. We can't be comfortable in our past. I understand that we have difficulties. I've had some difficulties and struggles in my life as well, but we must move forward. Amen? Are y'all still with me? Go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, and we'll start round about verse number 1. Amen. Ain't God good, y'all? That we don't have to stay stuck in our mess. Stay stuck in our brokenness, stay stuck in situations that don't help us to grow. He doesn't want us to look back. Amen. Pastor, I always say, somebody took the chapter out of my book. Amen. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 says, the Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Verse 4 says, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And verse 5 says, he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So you see, it started with Abram, right? It started with Abram. And so God wants to bless Abram, and he wanted to make him a great nation and make his name great and bless his children's children, children's 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 children. And amen? So Abram, what he had to do was he had to leave, right, that place of comfort in order to go to that space, that land that was flowing with milk and honey. Are y'all with me? So he left some things. He left those creature comforts, I guess you could say, right? And so even in this, Abram answered the call. God's desire was to bless him and to create a covenant with him. Are y'all with me? Amen. So let's go back to that agricultural story, the farming story that I shared with you. So when the farmer plows, right, there's grooves, right, in the ground that are created. And those grooves in the ground are set specifically so the seed can be placed in those grooves. So if those grooves are off or crooked or not in line, right, not in a straight line, it throws the growth of the crop off, right? Are y'all with me? It throws the growth of the crop off, and so you begin to sprout all sorts of different things, right, within a crooked space, right? So where you may have wanted corn, there's still corn there, but maybe there's more stalk than corn, right? And so even in the midst, right, of the plowing, right, even in the midst of the plowing, right, we got to stay focused and we got to look at the horizon. We got to continue to focus on the Lord. Y'all, we are 8 months into 2021, right? Sometimes when things get a little tough, we have a tendency to go back to what's easy, to what's familiar. But I'm just here to encourage you today, don't look back. Amen? Amen. So for the purpose of this lesson for today, putting your hand to the plow is a representative of receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's your commitment, right, to Christ. Right? But not only that, looking back is representative of the past life. But not only the past life, it's representative of even past successes, right, at times. Because sometimes we could get caught up in all the good things that we did in the past and not move forward or not do anything to progress and to go to a different place. Well, you can say that God has blessed me in this area. And that's great, and that's good, but the Lord desires more for us, right? He desires that abundant life for us, so we can't just sit back and just rest because we may have thought that we have already arrived, right? But we haven't. We haven't arrived. So if we were to search the scriptures, we will see that there were many that turned away, right, because they look back. There were many that turned away from God because they look back. We can check out King Saul. We can look at Judas. We can look at Hosea's wife, right? But even in that, we can look at ourselves. Has there been a time in your life? And if I'm honest, yeah, there was a time where I turned away. Right, there was a time on where I walked away from the Lord, on where I turned my back, right, from the Lord. You know, many of us, we were raised in the church, right? But the fact that we were raised in the church doesn't dictate or doesn't mean that we have relationship, right, with God, right? You can go to church, you can go to church, you can go to church, right? But that relationship with the Lord is most important. And so I walked away, right? I walked away, y'all, from the Lord, right? But thank the Lord that he received me back in his arms with love, amen? And he forgave me for all of my sins, amen? I don't have to go back to being mean and angry and hateful and critical, right? I don't have to go back to that, right? But we get stuck sometimes. We get stuck if we're honest with ourselves. In John 6 and 66, and you don't have to turn there, you just make a note. It says that from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And that was Jesus. Jesus' disciples turned back. There were many that turned away, right, and went back to the old, right? But I'm here to encourage you today that I don't want you to look back. Don't look back. Amen? Jesus said of Judas that it would have been better to have not been born than to have turned away from Christ. So are there any of us in here that are potentially in a backslidden state or in a place to where we feel like we just can't make it back? We just can't find the words. We can't make the connection. We can't see past our past. Is there any of us in here today like that? The scripture teaches us that to turn back is to sin, and it is to lose the life that God has chosen for us. Do we want to lose the life that God has chosen for us? The life that he predestined us to, right? He came that we would have life, that we would have it to the full, John 10:10, right? That we would have it more abundantly. Some translations say that we would have life immeasurably more, right? So because Jesus came that we could have this life, looking back, right? The temptation just to get one little peek, right? Could take us to a place to where it's difficult to recover from. Not saying it's impossible to recover from, because I'm a living witness. Because God delivers, God heals, God sets free. Amen? Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 19. A few chapters over. Now, this text that we're about to read is very familiar to a lot of us. But I want you to take a look at it from a different set of eyes today. From a different set of eyes. Amen. Are we at Genesis 19? So I'm just going to set the scene for us so we get kind of an understanding of what's happening. So in the chapter prior, in Genesis 18, the Lord said that there has been an outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, that the outcry in Sodom and Gomorrah was so great because of the sin that was taking place within that particular city, right? And so Abraham at the time was standing in the stead, right, of those in that particular city. Now remember a little bit earlier I shared with you that when Abram was called of God, he was called of God to get his family, right, and his possessions and go to this place that the Lord was going to show him. In that text that I showed you in Genesis 12, it said that he took his nephew, right, Lot, right? It said, and Lot, right? That's a whole other message in itself, and we're going to dig into that just a little bit. But he took Lot with him. And so with Abraham and with Lot, when Abram made the transition, right, as they were traveling, as they were preparing to go into the land, there was land, right, everywhere. And so Lot, the nephew, Abram, right, the uncle, they both were able to take certain sets of land. Well, Lot saw the land, and he was like, all right, this is the good side. I'm going to take this side. And Abram, you got the rest, right? You got the rest. You can go back and read it in the text yourself, right? Just go from Genesis 1 all the way up to 12. Amen? Homework. So in that, right, so Lot, I guess you could say that Lot tried to get the upper hand, right? He tried to get the best of the best. But the key thing about getting the best of the best is you got to be in the will of God, right, to receive the best of the best of the best of the best, right? So Lot looked with his natural eyes. But in the spirit, God had already told Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, right? Your children's children, bless, 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 bless. That's us. We're blessed. Amen? Y'all still awake? Y'all still with me? All right, so remember that. Amen. So here in chapter 19, we have Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is like, all right, this sin is so great. I'm going to destroy this place. The sin is so great, I'm going to destroy this place. And so Genesis 19, amen, verse 1, 19 and 1, and it reads, the two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. Now, do y'all know what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah? Now, because we have delicate ears in the area, I'm going to say it this way. There is all manner of sin, lasciviousness, defilement, nastiness, right? Right? All sorts of mess, right, going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? And so in the midst of this, we find Lot sitting in the gateway of the city. Now, if you do a little bit of digging, the gateway of the city, a lot of times is where a lot of the business took place, right? And so since the business took place, Lot was able to meet people. He was able to transfer goods. He was able to exchange maybe words with people that potentially, right, highly likely, right, was corrupt and, right, and was in the midst of all manner of mess. And that's what I'm gonna call it, in the midst of all manner of mess. Amen? And so even in that with Lot, right, you can see that his morality, you can see that his connection with God at the time is a little bit shaky. Now, he probably had some belief, right? But was his life lining up with, right, the things of God? And so we're going to dig a little further. Where did I stop? Verse 3 goes on to say, but he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, now check this out, y'all. Before they being the two angels, the messengers that arrived, right? Before, oh, I lost my place. Amen. Verse 4, before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. Now, come on now, y'all. That city was so corrupt that the young and the old was surrounding the house. And they was like, okay, y'all stay with me here. I want to get at them, right? I want to meet those. I want to connect with those men that you have in the house. So the young and the old, are y'all with me here? All right? Am I okay? I see the young ones in here today. Amen. So even in the midst of that, the young and the old, right, surrounded the house, y'all. Now, that's corruption, right? That is corruption if the young and the old, the innocent, right? The innocent are corrupted by what's happening in this city. They called to Lot, verse 5, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have relations with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind them. So I envision, this is what I envision, y'all. Y'all go with me. So I envision Lot, right, hearing all of the commotion outside and then hearing the voices of the people saying, you know, let us in so we can get at, right, those two men. And I see Lot doing this, right, closing the door quickly, right, behind him so no one can enter in, right, to defile those men. But here we go, y'all. Here we go. So Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind them and said, no, my friends. I'm going to stop right there. He said, no, my friends. So the word friends means one that you're connected to, right? One that you would lay down your life for, right? So he called these people friends. Y'all, come on now. Now check this out. Keep on reading. And he said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. I'm like, what about the daughters? How can you just give up the daughters like that? But this is the level of corruption. This is the level of sin that was going on in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. 9 goes on to say, get out of our way, they replied. This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. I cannot imagine what worse would be. All right? And I don't want you to either, so we're going to leave that right there. But the men inside reached out. Oh, excuse me. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Verse 11 says, then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so they could not find the door. Now that had to be some serious sin if they was blind and still trying to find their way, still trying to get their way in to the door. The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, daughters or sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against his people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. And so we'll park right there just for a minute. So, people of God, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that the sin was so great in Sodom and Gomorrah. The sin was so great in Sodom and Gomorrah that it affected families, right? That it affected the generations. And you'll see that if you continue to read through Genesis, you'll see the effects of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Right, so stay with me. Amen. Let's go and still in verse 19, go to verse 14. So it goes on to say, so Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and go out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. So when I read that, I said, they must have seen him slip up so many times. They must have seen him not honor God's word so many times, to the point to where they was like, man, whatever, right? They thought he was joking. Do y'all hear me? So he's trying to warn them, but they think it's funny. 15 says, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. 16, when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. So, y'all, Lot is hesitating. So the sin is so rampant. The sin is so deep. The sin runs so deep in his family alone, he hesitates. And the messengers have to take his hand, his wife's hand, his daughter's hands, and grab them and pull them out of the city. But Lot, so far from God's plan. But Lot, so far from God's plan, he began to beg. He began to beg, y'all. So it goes on to say, as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. But Lot said to them, no, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Verse 20 says, look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. So Lot has been instructed, don't look back. Not only that, he's hesitating, right? But not only that, he's going on and he's saying, okay, wait. I'm leaving, right? Sodom and Gomorrah, but you got this other city, Zoar. Z-O-A-R, which means small. You got this other little small city that I could go to. If I go anywhere else, I'm scared, right? I'll die, right? So he's saying, let us go to this little city, right? Let us go to this little place. Now, keep in mind, Sodom and Gomorrah was probably a very large city, right? And the adjoining cities more than likely probably experienced, right, a level of that sin or that immorality, right, that was going on within Sodom and Gomorrah. So how many times in our lives have we briefly looked back and we said, all right, well, I'm not fornicating now, but I'm lying, right? Right? I'm not gossiping, but I'm disrespecting leadership, right? And so my point is, right? So when the sin is so great, right? And if our hearts are compromised, right? And we're not fixed and focused on the Lord, right? We think there's little sin, right? We think that there's little bad things, right, that we do. But in all actuality, sin is sin, right? And so who's to say that if Lot hadn't went to this small city, that the same sorts of sin, right, the same sorts of compromise, the same sorts of turmoil wouldn't go on in that city, right? So sometimes we look back, right? And we say, well, I'm not that, but you still working in the midst of this. So that's what Lot did, right? So if we go on, the text says so much more, but I want you to take a look at verse 23. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur, or fire and brimstone, rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. And so here's another point. Verse 26 says, but Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So even in the midst of Lot's wife looking back, you had to think maybe she was looking back in apprehension. Maybe she was looking back because she enjoyed that space on where she was. Who knows what Lot's wife had done if Lot was willing to give up his daughters? Who knows? Like, we don't know, right? But even in the midst of this, and so I read that text because I wanted you to understand that in the process of not looking back, when we do look back, the fall is a gradual process. Right? And so if you think about it, Lot made choices, right? Lot made choices that caused him to move further and further away from God's plan for his life, right? He chose, right, that land. He chose to make choices that were foolish. He chose to go towards Sodom, because he didn't actually start out in Sodom. Right? There was a time where he was outside of Sodom, and then he began to move towards Sodom, and then he was in the gate of Sodom, and then his family was raised in Sodom, right? So when we look back, when we go back, right, the fall, right, the process of the fall is a gradual thing, but it's based on the choices that we've made, right, along the way. What I'm telling you today is we don't have to look back, right? We don't have to go back. It's a gradual process this fall, and we don't want to go back, right? Lot's choices increased his ties to the world, and it lessened his connection with God. Can I get a couple of people to help me out with this demonstration? Just two people. Or three. Three is good. All right, my brothers, are y'all okay holding hands? Okay. Y'all all right? All right. All right. All right. So, my brother, I want you to stand right here. My brother, I want you right here. I just need you to stand right here. I just need you to stand right here. All right. Right face. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So take a couple of steps up. All right. All right. So I want everybody to turn to the right. All right. So I need you to take a couple of steps forward, sir. Put your hand on his shoulder. Take a couple of steps back. I need you to put your hand on his shoulder. What'd you say? It doesn't matter. If you're okay, would you put your hand on my shoulder? All right, now all I want y'all to do is follow me. All right? No matter where I go, I want you to follow me. Y'all with me? All right. All right, what's the problem? All right. All right. Hand still on my shoulder. Keep going. All right, y'all better come on, pick it up. Now, what happened now?
Straight line.
Straight line, right? So I'm fixed and I'm focused on a point here that's on the wall. And so my fixed and my focus started back, right? Started back before I even began to walk, right? And so they followed me. And so what happened? They went in a straight line as well, right? All right, so what happened? Thank you, gentlemen. So what happened? What happened when I was looking back? I veered off, right? I veered off to the course. And so that's what happens in our spiritual lives. Thank you, gentlemen. That's what happens in our spiritual lives. So when we look back, right, past hurts, past failures, and even in some cases at our successes, we get caught up, right? And what's behind us. But what we need to do is we need to fix and focus our gaze on the Lord. Amen? Amen. So verse 26 simply says this, and I said it already. But Lot's wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt. So I leave with you today 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Philippians 3 and 13 in part says it this way. Forgetting what's behind and straining towards what is ahead. I'm saying Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. And you could just take a note of this, y'all. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And my last scripture for you today is in Luke 17. And 32. Luke 17 and 32. If you are ever tempted to look back, if you are ever in a space to where you're looking at your failures, even your successes, because sometimes we get stuck in our successes, and you're not fixed in focus on the Lord, I want you to remember this scripture. It simply says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now remember, she turned back. right? Well, she looked back, right? Her heart was already, right, back there. But remember Lot's wife. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I just wanted to encourage you today and to let you know that you don't have to look back, right? You don't have to look back. The Lord has forgiven you, right? The Lord is prepared to heal you, has already healed you. The Lord desires to deliver you. I know this was a simple message, and I know that you guys have heard the text about Sodom and Gomorrah over and over and over again. But this is just a reminder, right? A reminder for us not to look back. Amen? Amen. And we're standing.